already. Today a special person came into Parsonstown just when our spirits faltered and our hopes were spiraling down. I bet he won't believe the sight that waits to greet him here, but I know he'll feel the friendly warmth of folks that really care about their friends and neighbors and the visitors who come into our little county. We welcome everyone. We haven't much to offer. Our town is nearly bleak since the flood of cold November came swirling down our streets. It washed away our homes and farms, which makes me stop and ask. Oh boy, I messed it up.
Go ahead.
Which makes me stop and pause to ask you, Senator Kennedy, will there be a Santa Claus in the form of federal monies to rechannel rivers wild, restore the homes and business place of every man and child? You see, we've special problems. In fact, we're worlds apart from the bustle of the city or the places in the heart of the folk who come from far away and try to help us out, not knowing circumstances that brought it all about. They can't believe our mountain steep could funnel such a loss. They can't believe our peaceful streams could cause such great chaos. So we need a special person here to help them understand it takes much more to keep us safe than levees built of sand. We thank you, Senator Kennedy, for coming to our town. We hope that when you leave today, your heart with love abounds. We wish a Merry Christmas to all of yours and you, and hope that when you come again, a different sight you'll view. We're sorry that you've chosen not to run for president, but here in Tucker County, it doesn't make a cent of difference in the way we feel. That's why I wrote this poem, to tell you, Senator Kennedy, you're already number one.
He would have.
Yeah, we can try this. We can try this.
Maybe I'll do it again.
Read the whole thing again.
Today a special person came into Parsonstown just when our spirits faltered and our hopes were spiraling down. I bet he won't believe the sight that waits to greet him here, but I know he'll feel the friendly warmth of folks that really care about their friends and neighbors and the visitors who come into our little county. We welcome everyone. We haven't much to offer. Our town is nearly bleak since the flood of cold November came swirling down our streets. It washed away our homes and farms, which makes me stop and pause to ask you, Senator Kennedy, will there be a Santa Claus in the form of federal monies to rechannel rivers wild, restore the homes and business place of every man and child? You see, we special problems. In fact, we're worlds apart from the bustle of the city or the places in the heart of the folks who come from far away and try to help us out, not knowing circumstances that brought it all about. They can't believe our mountain steep could funnel such a loss. They can't believe our peaceful streams could cause such great chaos. So we need a special person here to help them understand it takes much more to keep us safe than levees built of sand. We thank you, Senator Kennedy, for coming to our town. We hope that when you leave today, your heart with love abounds. We wish a Merry Christmas to all of yours and you, and hope that when you come again, a different sight you'll view. We're sorry that you've chosen not to run for president, but here in Tucker County, it doesn't make a cent of difference in the way we feel. That's why I wrote this poem, to tell you, Senator Kennedy, you're already number one.
What is the date today?
January 12th, 1986.
This is the first day you moved into your new house?
Or is it the 13th?
Today's
the 13th.
Today's January 13th. And we moved in yesterday. We actually moved in the 12th.
And you say you haven't had any water, huh?
No.
Just what I carry. I fill my jugs up at home.
Tonight. Well, you got some fresh spring water then.
Oh,
is that spring the FEMA was going to make you clean out?
That's no. It. It's the way of getting the mountain from the house.
Not the well that FEMA wanted us to decontaminate.
What was it? You bought 300 feet of pipe and there's a lot of pipe in there.
Uh-huh. What's the name of this poem you wrote?
Flood of 85.
Okay. Let's hear a little of it.
Let me tell you of Tucker County, the place where I was born, in the wilds of West Virginia, by nature so grandly adorned. In a beautiful emerald valley, flanked high by mountains tall, McGowan, Green, and Backbone, by the settlers they were called. And down in this winding valley, a river runs brisk and clean, but why they named it Dry Fork is the wonder of any man's dream. For many old folk here have told me, not once can memory recall of Dry Fork being empty and flowing not at all. Now along both sides of the river, rich bottom land did lay for the settlers and the farmers when by chance they passed this way. So they claimed the lush green meadows, built their homes and then small towns, and for many years so peaceful there, the river kept its bounds. Well, we lived and played in this beautiful land as a child, and when we grew up, we bought the farm, a horse and a cow, and even a frolicky pup. And we all lived there by the riverside with never a worry or care, till a flood came down on a November eve and washed away all we held dear. They say that a cloudburst far up in Canaan rolled down Cabin Mountain the river to claim. Down every steep mountain small rivulets did grow, getting larger and larger with each added flow, till they came to old Dry Fork, now swollen and full, and it rushed past our farm like the charge of a bull. Now our house, set up high on a rise in the field, rode meadow and orchard between, and the thought of it reaching even near to our door was foolish, or so it did seem. But when the great Dry Fork, fed more than its hold by the mountains so rugged and steep, rushed down narrow valley and widened its path, I'm thankful we weren't fast asleep. For up o'er the road through orchard and field to the driveway to wash off our cars, then on in the house across the garden behind, it came like the flames of a fire, leaping higher and higher, incensed by the fuel of rain that had fallen for days, consuming each object with angry abandon that happened to be in its way. When it passed to the Black Fork River just outside of Hendrickstown, it pushed it aside, and the waters had naught but to make a new course and around. Through Hendricks it swirled and twisted its way, washing houses and bridge from its path. Then into old Brooklyn Heights bottoms it gathered more bounty to dash. On an island beside town of Hamilton, both rivers so violently met, swept on through the nursery bottom, and its fury was not finished yet. They roared together, and Parsons fell prey to the torrent that rushed through the streets and viciously robbed every store of its wares, leaving tons of debris in its sweep. As it merged with the mighty Cheat River, so named for the lives that it has stole, it scourged through St. George and gathered the bridge that had stood there since days of old, and smashed it to bits on the fields of the farms with never a thought or a care, then left Tucker County alone in the night, all ravaged, so bleak and so bare. Oh, I could go on for verse after verse of destruction that November night, caused by an opponent so mighty and strong not even a giant could fight. Now the why and the for, we never will know, that took our green valley away. Could it be that the Lord sent a message that night, and in it he meant for to say, the treasures man builds on the soft of the sand can be gone in the wink of an eye, and all that remains is the love of a friend to comfort and hold while you cry. Oh, we will build back just as grand as before, and in time the memory will dim. When nature has healed all the scars of the flood, Tucker's Valley will be green again. But come each November, we'll pause and give thanks to the Lord for all that we have, and then we'll remember with hearts sad to cry the friends who perished in the flood of 85. Let me cough first. Mm-hmm. We both had a cold. Finally getting over it.
Okay. How long did it take you to write this? You wrote it in one night?
Mm-hmm.
She wrote it five times before she says.
Yeah, I wrote it and then I revised it to say what I wanted to say.
It's really nice. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Can you hold this dog? those little toes on the floor. Those little toes on the floor.
Take her in the bedroom, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, we ready?
Yeah.
Let me tell you of Tucker County, the place where I was born, in the wilds of West Virginia, by nature so grandly adorned. In a beautiful emerald valley, flanked high by mountains tall, McGowan, Green, and Backbone, by the settlers they were called. And down in the winding valley, a river runs brisk and clean, but why they named it Dry Fork is the wonder of any man's dream. For many old folk here have told me, not once can memory recall of Dry Fork being empty and flowing not at all. Now along both sides of the river, rich bottom land did lay for the settlers and the farmers when by chance they passed this way. So they claimed the lush green meadows, built their homes and then small towns, and for many years so peaceful there, the river kept its bounds. Well, we lived and played in this beautiful land as a child, and when we grew up, we bought a farm, a horse and a cow, and even a frolicky pup. And we all lived there by the riverside with never a worry or care, till a flood came down on a November eve and washed away all we held dear. They say that a cloudburst far up in Canaan rolled down Cabin Mountain, the river to claim. Down every steep mountain small rivulets did grow, getting larger and larger with each added flow, till they came to old Dry Fork, now swollen and full, and it rushed past our farm like the charge of a bull. But our house set up high on a rise in the field, rode meadow and orchard between, and the thought of it reaching even nearer to our door was foolish, or so it did seem. But when the great Dry Fork, fed more than its hold by the mountains so rugged and steep, rushed down narrow valley and widened its path, I'm thankful we weren't fast asleep. For up o'er the road, through the orchard and field, to the driveway to wash off our cars, then on in the house, cross garden behind, it came like the flames of a fire, leaping higher and higher, incensed by the fuel of rain that had fallen for days, consuming each object with angry abandon that happened to be in its way. And when it passed to the Dry Fork River just outside of Hendrickstown, it pushed it aside, and the waters had naught but to make a new course and around. Through Hendricks it swirled and twisted its way, washing houses and bridge from its path. Then into old Brooklyn Heights bottoms it gathered more bounty to dash. On an island beside town of Hamilton, both rivers so violently met, swept on through the nursery bottom, and their fury was not finished yet. They roared together, and Parsons fell prey to the torrent that rushed through the streets, and viciously robbed every store of its wares, leaving tons of debris in its sweep. As it merged with the mighty Cheat River, so named for the lives it has stole, it scourged through St. George and gathered the bridge that had stood there since days of old, and smashed it to bits on the fields of the farms with never a thought or a care, then left Tucker County alone in the night, all ravaged so bleak and so bare. Oh, I could go on for verse after verse of destruction that November night, caused by an opponent so mighty and strong, not even a giant could fight. Now the why and the for we never will know that took our green valley away. Could it be that the Lord sent a message that night, and in it he meant for to say, the treasures man builds on the soft of the sand can be gone in the wink of an eye, and all that remains is the love of a friend to comfort and hold while you cry. Oh, we will build back just as grand as before, and in time the memory will dim. When nature has healed all the scars of the flood, Tucker's Valley will be green again. But come each November, we'll pause and give thanks to the Lord for all that we have, and then we'll remember with hearts sad to cry the friends who perished in the flood of 85. My throat was dry. I couldn't hardly read it at that time.
I talked to one of the students up at the high school whose aunt and uncle, Bonner?
Bonners,
Did you know them at all?
Yeah, I knew of them, but Edith's sister is married to the Bonner's brother. And they found the lady just down there from Hamilton, or at least they thought that's who it was. So, but we knew them, both of the Harpers, Stellman and Harry, and they found Stellman, I think, maybe just a couple of days or so afterwards, but they still hadn't found Harry's body the last time I heard. And Margaret Painter, from Elkins, drowned in it. And they still haven't found her, I don't think. But, and that Mr. Dumeyer drowned down at the trailer park in Parsons, and he was an elderly man, and he wouldn't leave his trailer, and they didn't make him, so he just washed away in it. I thought that was so sad. I think they should have carted him out or something, That we knew Harry and Stellman really well.
Yeah.
The other day when the house burnt, Rob just had to take Mom by the arm and come with her. She wasn't going to leave him. They was going to stay in the barn.
Yeah, they were going to stay in the barn. I said, good grief.
Yeah, couldn't come off. Like Rob did being over to his house instead.
If you got me done now.
I wanted to ask you a little more. Have you had any more dealings with FEMA? Or how's all that going?
Well, after we finally got them to come back and do the second DA on it, disaster, whatever they call that, they call it a second DA. They called and told us, just called us on the phone and told us we were eligible for temporary housing. And so then when we applied for a small business loan to rebuild, they told us that we would need a paper saying that our house had been condemned and that we were eligible for temporary housing. They wanted that for their files. So I called the people at FEMA, and they said, well, we don't even have your file here. It hasn't come back yet. When did the man do the second inspection of your farm? And I said, the 16th, and this was like, oh my goodness, just a few days before the end of the month. And they said they still didn't have my file back, yet they had already called me and said that I was eligible for temporary housing. How did they do that if they didn't have my file back? So I waited 2 days and I called again telling them that I needed this letter, and they said it had already been sent to SBA. So but they did say that, they had my name on the list for one of the mobile homes, and that it was all taken care of. But then when we found this house, they said, well, we could come here, but they will pay our rent for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, if we still don't have one built, we have to reapply and to get further aid. And they didn't say how long they would extend it, but someone said up to 18 months. But we don't hope to be in town for 18 months.
Anxious to get back up on the road.
Yeah. In the spring, we surely will be.
We both just took roots, so we can't leave. Water didn't chase us off, but we're going back. So she was raised right across the river from there.
Uh-huh.
She can go up there and look across through her humble home, yet although the door of the house down, she can still, just a little ways up there, she can look over where she's raised.
Uh-huh.
Her daddy was raised right where her place is there.
Yeah.
Then I think, that they have a lot of confusion going on down there, and they really don't have things squared away to handle calls when they come in. They have to evidently rush around and hunt for this or hunt for that, because I knew my file had to be there. Otherwise, she couldn't have called and told me that I had been approved for temporary housing if he hadn't turned my file back in, you know.
Did you get more satisfaction out of the second DA than you did after?
Oh, yes. The second one, the supervisor himself, I don't know his name, but he came and went up. And as soon as he saw the outside of the house, he didn't even care if he went in or not. He said that the fellow who did the first inspection said he couldn't have been looking at the same house that he was looking at. Surely not, you know, because right away he said, you know, it wasn't fit to live in. It would have to be torn down. But Norman showed him inside, too. We finally found out what was causing the stairs to feel funny. There was a big hole up through the floor.
Somebody's head under there and drove the stairs right out. Mm-hmm. The floor out. Since he looked at the foundation, there were knocks under.
Yeah. So, did you get anything then? I mean, if the grant is for temporary
housing. Temporary housing, uh-huh. And they will buy us some necessities, you know, furnishings, whenever we find out exactly what we're going to need. Mm-hmm. So.
But you were satisfied with the second appraisal?
Well, yes, because that would make us eligible for more money from SBA, you know, to rebuild. If the house hadn't have been... you know, if they hadn't have said that it wasn't fit to live in or condemned, whatever, I don't think they condemn it. I think the state fire marshal has to condemn it. But if they say that it isn't fit to live in, that it needs to be torn down and rebuilt, that determines in part how much money you'll get from SBA to, you know, rebuild or repair, whichever. And so since we need to rebuild, we'll be eligible for a larger amount of money than we would have been if we were just going to repair that old house, you know. Mm-hmm. So we were pleased with the second one. Before that, we would have been eligible for $1,200 in $1,272 in repair money from FEMA, but the SBA would have been cut down to make permanent repairs. See, the money from FEMA is only for temporary repairs to make it just livable. And then you can get a loan from SBA of 4%, or we hope 4%, either 4 or 8%, to make the more permanent repairs. This way we can get money to rebuild rather than just repair. Mm-hmm. So that should be a lot better.
Relief, but the supervisor himself came.
Uh-huh.
He said he wanted to see anybody jack that house up and straighten it up.
He said it would surely just break apart.
It would take some big equipment to lift that up out of that.
Norman, I wanted to ask you about your new horse.
My new horse? What, you want to know whether I like him or not? Or?
Yeah. Well, tell me the whole story about how you happened to get him.
Well, yeah.
Here, sit down and take it easy.
To start out, I had Cletus to call Bud Bennett over here at Buckhannon and told him what happened to my old horse that I had got off of him 13 years ago. And he said, well, he'd try to replace him for me. And just a week afterwards, we got a call from Bud, and he said he believed he had something that would suit me, but maybe not as good as the other one. I went over and I looked at him, and he looked pretty good to me, although he wasn't really the stalk I wanted. And I told him I'd go home, put a rack on my truck, and be back after him on the next weekend.
What was a young horse?
Huh?
What was he? He wasn't the stalk you wanted. What was he?
He's half what I wanted. He's half Persian, half Clydesdale. The old one was half Persian and half Belgian. And I liked him much the best. Both that Belgian and Persian, both good. But my dad tells me the Clydesdales is as good. He's had them both. And for liking him, he's bit me twice.
How old is he?
He's pretty near 9 months now. And he's kicked at me a dozen times. Well, I believe I'll learn to like him, but I'll never find one to replace the old horse. I've had horses ever since I was just I think I got my first one when I was about 12 years old. And I've had horses all my life, but I liked this one of this Lost in the Flood the best of any of them.
Old Clyde?
Yes, sir. I liked him the best. He had more sense than all of them. I could take him to the field when the corn was all 2 or 3 inches high, take the bridle off and hang it on the hams and just cultivate all day, this G and Haw, and I'd give anybody $1 for every stalk he mashed down. He just took a good fast walk and he just kept that all day. He didn't change his speed a bit all day. Plowing the same way.
In the woods, was he good?
Oh, in the woods, he was wild. Logan, he was wild booger there.
What do you mean?
A log didn't catch him. He was just like a red squirrel. He could steer around. As big as he was, I heard a lot of people say they didn't see how he moved as big as he was. He'd get out of the way of a log. When he's just a cold about, I think we was getting that bridge timber and one of them logs hit him. And from that on, he was afraid of a log. But this one I've got now, I just had to have him. I couldn't do without.
What's your plans for rebuilding? Are you going to use him to skid?
No, he's not going to be big enough. But Dad told me the other day I could have his and to use for that. He's got one up there. A big gray. Not as big as the one I lost, but he's a big horse. And he told me to come up and get him and use him. Because this one isn't going to be heavy enough for such as that. Yeah.
So what are your plans for rebuilding your house? Are you going to use the horse to...
Well... No, I'm going to get a dozer and build a road up on the flat there to it. I had a dozer over there one day, borrowed one, and pushed the sand off the garden. And I didn't have time to push the road in. I had to have it back, I was ready to load it and take it out. So I'm going to build a road up there, and perhaps I can get a truck clean up then.
So you won't need the horse then?
No, but Dad told me this yesterday, so if I needed one to come and get his and up there. Old Bill, he said, I tried to get him trade him off 2 years ago, and he said he didn't know which was going to last longest, him or Old Bill. Old Bill's way up in his 20s.
Did he still pull the log?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's an able horse. You would look at him, you wouldn't think he's over 5 or 6 years old. He took care of that.
So what kind of a house are you going to build? What are your plans for putting...
Well, sir, I want to put me a... block basement and a frame over top of the basement, frame house over the top of the basement. That's what we've got plans for now.
Two-story?
No, just one. We ain't no needing us a heating two stories no more. We didn't use but 4 rooms of that house. Down there, Denny, he's got all them rooms. And he has to heat them all because it's... heats with a furnace mostly. And they don't only use 3 rooms of that. They still have to heat the rest of them back through there because there's no way to cut the vents off.
Will you get the logs out yourself or are you just going to buy lumber?
No, I'm going to buy lumber. That is, I've done been offered to trade some logs for lumber over there. So what's the use of me getting the logs off and they'll get them out and give me the lumber for them anyway? Yeah, I'm going to build one out where the fodder shock is. Now, that's going to be a log cabin.
What are you going to do?
Build one out where mine and her fodder shock house is. I want to build this cabin out there. I talked about that all last summer, building that, and she said that night when we was humped up in there, her teeth were rattling, she said, wouldn't that have been nice if you'd have done it instead of talk? Well, I want to have me a cabin out of that place. Don't know when you're going to burn out like Dad and Mom. Now, if Rob hadn't had a house built over in his place there, what would they have done? They'd have froze to death because they wouldn't have come off of there. I went up there, when was it? Three or four years ago, hauled him off of there, and the doctor wouldn't let me take him back up. He had pneumonia, and he wanted to go back home. Doctor told me it wouldn't last to get him home.
How old is he now?
He's 86. They went to giving him MIVs as soon as he got in bed there.
Antibiotics.
Yeah. Then they had him in the hospital down here one time. Oh, he got sick of coon hunting and crawled in a home up there. Mom now got Ben along. Ben went and brought him down here to the hospital and put him in the hospital. You know the old rascal run off that night? Yeah, he ran off right up this mountain he went.
It was on a Sunday, and he asked the nurse when the doctor would be in. And she jokingly said, oh, this is Sunday, he doesn't come in. Well, he figured he wasn't going to stay around if the doctor wasn't coming. He was going out, and he did.
I was up home milking for Mom whenever he come. I was going to milk the cows and feed the hogs and everything, come down and see about him. And I was up there milking, and she was coming up the hill to help me. And looked over through the fields there, you know, you can see all about half a mile over through there, this clear as can be. Just to get in daylight and seeing someone coming through there. And it was him, and he didn't have his shoes laced up, and he didn't have his shirt buttoned up, and his shirt tail was sticking right straight back, and he'd run off down. They would hunt it all over for him. Had to write more down here, state police hunting for him. And your Rob had to come into town and tell him where he was at. You know, he hid up on the mountain and he wouldn't even come to the house for 3 or 4 days.